Krishna, welcome everyone. So we'll just review briefly what we discussed in the last session. Discuss few verses. 33 to 5. So after Arjuna asks Krishna, who are you, and about the universal form, who are you, what is the mission, then Krishna gives some instructions, right? After replying the answer, right, he says, who is he? He's the time. And what is his mission? Destroy all the people except the Pandavas. So then what are some of the crucial instructions Krishna gives? Text number 33, Nimitta Matram Bhava. So just become my instrument. What are some of the implications of that? What does it mean to be an instrument?
Plans are already made by the God. But he wants to give credit to the devotee. He just wants to execute his plans and then just become an instrument.
Okay, so basically, what does it mean more? Like, that means, like, you know, you should just, already executed by the Lord means you should just keep quiet or don't do anything.
Do whatever is
in line with the Lord's plans, right? Also, another implication is that you don't accept the full own credit of the action you're doing. You don't think you're the doer, basically. And that's also one implication. Basically, we say, right, when doctor performs a surgery very successfully, nobody says, put a garland to the knife, saying, you know, you did a good job, right? Instrument means nobody will, it goes unnoticed, like that. So similarly, that's what, you know, we are also meant to be. So what is some of the practical applications we discussed? How we can be instrument? So what is the mission of Lord and mission of the Acharyas?
To provide the Krishna
consciousness. Yeah, to deliver the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. So how can we be instrument in that?
If we follow these regulative principles and apply Krishna consciousness to ourselves, so not only ourselves will be benefited, so is the whole society.
Yeah, and also Lord can use us in different situations as an instrument to deliver others. Sometimes, you know, one incident, I think last time I didn't remember to quote. So in one of the classes earlier, Shalvilas Prabhu used to give morning Bhagavatam classes like 7:30 or something, or sometimes little later. We used to attend regularly. In one of the classes, he was mentioning about one incident. Like many of Prabhupada's disciples are in Seattle area actually, but many don't come to the temple. So it seems in one particular Sunday or weekend, suddenly that Mataji was going to Costco. And she saw in a van, one devotee, van or car, one devotee sitting and chanting intensely. Like, you know, like very trying to focus. Then she immediately, but she left the practice actually. She used to do, and then she left the practice. And immediately she saw that Mataji, she immediately recognized all the, you know, whatever she's supposed to do. No, I used to do all this. I used to be like this, chanting, and now I stopped all this. What am I doing in my life? So immediately she went and bought beads and started chanting. So she reported that to Arulas Prabhu, like that. So, you know, suddenly it so happened that this person was chanting in the parking lot and somebody else had to see, and then where she had to revive the Krishna consciousness. So like that, you know, in this way this person was an instrument in bringing that person a little bit closer to Krishna. So these are the ways. If we are pure, so how the instrument can be effective is the purity. The more purer we are, we can hear the Lord's message from within the heart and through our spiritual master. And the more we align with their orders, then Lord is, you know, without our knowledge, using us as instruments in delivering others. Sometimes we may even do things very beyond our imagination actually. Sometimes. Radhakrishna Prabhu many times he told like that. you know, sometimes we say something which we didn't, we are not aware, and you know, something happens, something. Yeah, he was sharing, Radhakrishna Prabhu's classes are not so much online, right? Like we were recorded in somewhere private site, something like that, we were there. But recently, I think 2 years back, we put all his Bhagavatam classes in YouTube, and it's almost publicly accessible. So, of course, we only used to listen, not so much also. Because we personally attend the class, usually we don't go and listen again. Because we have to work on homeworks, and unless we start to give class, then we listen. Maybe we are lazy. So, but then one day he sent a big email saying, you know, because we were also, that time, we were also supposed to make presentations of each one, take turn and make presentations. That also used to be recorded and put in YouTube. So he was telling, he was giving an instruction that, you know, don't think that whatever you are doing is, do it properly, as best as possible, as best as possible to please Srila Prabhupada. You know, we don't know when somebody can hear this and get inspired. Then he's quoted an email somebody sent to him from mainland China, or somebody, they bumped into his lectures and they're following that, and they felt very inspired and systematic, and they felt it's very useful for the systematic study of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that person made a big email, and he was saying, you know, I didn't even imagine somebody from China will look into the online somewhere and got inspired like that. So in that way, you know, Krishna is using Prabhu as an instrument in delivering that person, right? So like that, you know, the key is our purity, our diligence in following the process. The more we are doing that, the more we can be effective as an instrument in the hands of the Lord and Lord's devotees. Next, text number 34. So then Krishna is telling that all these warriors are already destroyed. Therefore, kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight, because victory is for sure. So then we discussed, you know, some people think the Lord is very cruel. He wants war. He wants, killing, mass killing. So we discussed some points, you know, how to understand it properly. Anybody remembers any points?
He wanted to bring everybody in one place and then keep them together.
Yeah, and also
credit will go to the Pandavas, being their devotees.
And also, by killing them, did he benefit anybody, everybody, or no? Everybody has got liberated who saw the Lord in the battlefield. So like that, he's doing benefit for them also, and also achieving success for the future by establishing Yudhishthira Maharaj as a king. Text number 35. Sanjaya is summarizing. After hearing these words from Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna now starts becoming into the wonder, right? He starts becoming so much fear. Trembling Arjuna, he offered obeisances and he started speaking like this. So that's the session we are going to cover today. Arjuna's prayers, I don't know how much we'll get through, we'll see. 36 to 46, we thought.
When he says, as a devotee in wonder, does that mean he is astonished or is fearful?
Wonder means, wonder has like two flavors, kind of like, you know, it's astonished, surprised, but here it's more fearful wonder. Not happy wonder, it's basically, you know, scary wonder. Text number 36. Arjuna vacha stane Hrishikesha tava prakritiya jagat prahrasyata anurajyate cha rakshamsi bitani dishodravanti sarve namasyanti cha siddha sangha. Arjuna said, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. So here Arjuna is discussing, how Krishna is regarded by different people. Right? First he is saying that generally people become joyful about people who are not so atheistic or not demoniac. They become joyful about hearing the Lord's name. Basically they are pious. And next category is perfected beings. What they do, they offer respects, they worship the Lord. But what happens? Third category, demons become afraid and they run away. And he said all this is properly done. This is a perfect. The way the Lord is executing all this is very perfect. So he's saying how Lord is manifested differently to different people. Like for example, you know, Kamsa, right? He was so afraid of Krishna as death personified. One night he tries to sleep and he sees Krishna everywhere trying to kill him. Like he's so much Krishna conscious actually, but in fear and in enmity. So like that, you know, he sees Krishna as enemy. But Yashoda Mata and Nanda Maharaj, they see Krishna as a loving son. It's like that, you know, based on the rasa, Krishna reciprocates. Like if you see Little Krishna movie, right? They will, whenever the demons see Krishna, they see him as a crown and, you know, like warrior. So they see him as enemy basically. So that's, you know, that's how Krishna reciprocates to them. That's the point actually we wanted to bring out here. We'll see after 6th line, when Arjuna saw the universal form, maybe 8th or 10th.
When Arjuna saw the universal form of the Lord, demigods took pleasure in it, but others who were demons and atheists could not stand it. And when the Lord could not stand it, when the Lord was praised, out of their natural fear of the devastating form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they fled. Krishna's treatment of the devotees and the atheists is praised by Arjuna. In all cases, a devotee glorifies the Lord because he knows that whatever he does is good for all.
So the same thing, you know, how demigods, atheists and demons, they behave with respect to the Lord. So some of the, remember we discussed about Narasimhadeva also, same thing. Devotees, they love to see the Lord and they pray for protection. Whereas immediately the demoniac people, if they see, they cannot stand the Lord actually. The same thing actually, same.
The Madhuri question, those who are on the field of Kurukshetra, were they able to see the Lord's form? No, right?
Yeah.
Because you said,
not universal form. Not universal form, but 200 form they could see, right?
Mm.
When Arjuna saw the universal form of the Lord, the demigods took pleasure in it.
Yeah, demigods also saw the universal form.
But others who were demons and atheists could not stand it.
When the Lord was praised, not when they saw the form.
The Lord was praised.
So for example, Sishupala and Duryodhana, they actually, they don't like it when the Lord is praised, so that's what they are saying.
So, out of the natural fear of the
could not stand
form of the Supreme Personality of God, they fled.
Yeah, we heard, right, the early higher planets were able to see.
Yeah.
So among the higher planets, demons, some of the demons, atheists were also able to see.
Okay.
Then their reaction was like this, demigods offered flowers, but they wanted to run away and they were afraid of the Lord. So the other point is, similarly, even there are two incidents, very nice incidents in Krishna's pastimes where Krishna specifically manifests this particular aspect about reciprocation in different rasas. The two incidents are like, basically the point here is Krishna reciprocates according to the mood you approach him. If you treat him as an enemy, he appears to you as an enemy. If you treat him as a lover and a friend and a person whom you want to love, he appears like that. So that's the point they're saying. So within that love, there are different rasas we know, right? Friendship, conjugal and parental and all this love. So different people have different relationships with Krishna. But there are two particular incidents where all the rasas were simultaneously existent, manifested by Krishna, exhibited by Krishna. The one incident is when the first, I don't know which order it comes, but first incident is when Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. So for 7 days, 7 nights, he lifted the Govardhan hill. Then all the Vrajavasis were able to exchange all the rasas with him. The gopis were having, you know, sidelong glasses with the Lord, and the gopas, the boys were thinking, you know, oh, Krishna cannot lift it, you know, we have to help him, so we'll put the sticks, and having friendship, you know, friendship. And parents are thinking, you know, oh, we have to give food, Krishna 7 days, 7 days is standing, you know, we have to prepare something for him, we have to give water to him, like that, you know, parental rasa, and then neutral, you know, all the trees in Govardhan, they are reciprocating, like that. So all the five rasas are simultaneously manifested by same Krishna actually. So girls are thinking, looking at him differently, no, the boys are looking at him differently, it's like that. Another incident, same thing happens, is when Krishna enters the arena of Kamsa for the wrestling match. No, that's how Kamsa invites Krishna, right, to come from Mathura or Vrindavana so that he can kill him. That's his plan. You know, he says, you know, there is a wrestling match, you come, and there are two, there is a big elephant called Kuvaliya Pida. No, Kamsa arranges such a way that he gets crushed and kills and all these things, and there were two wrestlers, Chanura and Mushtika. Then when Krishna is entering that wrestling match, different people see him differently. You know, the young cohort, Gopas, Nanda Maharaj and all the Rajavasis also come there, because that's when Krishna came first time, right? So the girls see him as like a handsome hero, and the boys see him as like, you know, oh wow, you know, he's going to win the match, he's going to kill these people, you know, like a friendly spirit, like you can imagine other rasas also like that. So same Krishna is capable, of course, you know, is fully capable of reciprocating fully in all the different rasas without any interference, without even feeling that competition or feeling or like, you know, oh, he's reciprocating with that person, no, what about me? It's not like that. If we compare ourselves with, you know, Krishna, right, we think, you know, if I give attention to, I can imagine, two twins, right? Somebody was, one incident I remember, some kid was fighting with his parent, you know, you're not giving enough attention to me or something like that. He was only one child. I don't know, for some reason they gave my example, you know, they were telling, you know, just imagine that Mataji, she can only give 50% of attention to each of the child. You know, at least I'm giving sometime I'm giving 100% to you. So this is by design, I can only give 50%, right? So like that we think our capacity based on that, but Krishna is fully capable of reciprocating our love fully. So that's some of the incidents, you know, we can have that faith. And, you know, hopefully we can, or rather prepare ourselves to offer the fullest capacity of our love to the Lord. Okay, so the next verse, any questions or points you wanted to share? This verse. Okay. Text number 37. Maybe we'll just go through the translation, you know, we thought we'll cover a few verses. O great one, greater even than Brahma, you are the original creator. Why then should they not offer their respectful obeisance unto you? O limitless one, God of gods, refuge of the universe, you are the invincible source, the cause of all causes, transcendental to this material manifestation. So now he's glorifying all the, you know, opulent aspects of the Lord, like how he's greater, how he's transcendental, he's, you know, all the Lord of all the demigods. In the mood of awe and reverence, basically. So we'll read from second line. Arjuna is addressing Krishna as, so here Srila Prabhupada is giving definition for each of the words he's using. So you can just make a note. Arjuna is addressing Krishna as
Mahatma, which means that he is the most magnanimous and unlimited. Ananta indicates that there is nothing which is not covered by the influence and energy of the Supreme Lord. And means that he is the controller of all demigods and is above all. He is the shelter of the whole universe. Arjuna also thought that it was fitting that all the perfect living entities and powerful demigods offer their respectful obeisances unto him, because no one is greater than him.
Yeah. So then going forward, Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, how Brahma is also born from Vishnu or Krishna. So that's why, you know, he is subordinate also. Like last four lines, the word Aksharam.
The word Aksharam is very significant because this material creation is subject to destruction, but the Lord is above this material creation. He is the cause of all causes, and being so, he is superior to all the conditioned souls within this material nature as well as the material cosmic manifestation itself. He is therefore the all great supreme.
So material creation is subject to destruction, but not the Lord. So material creation is emanating from the Lord. So Lord is transcendental. You know, he is not part of this creation. So that's, you know, some of the points we already heard. So his devotee now, his friend is glorifying the Lord in all this ways. Text number 38. You are the original personality of Godhead, the oldest, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world. You are the knower of everything and you are all that is knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes. O limitless form, this whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. You can see so many exclamations he's using. So second line in the purport, Nidanam.
Nidanam means that everything, even the Brahman effulgence, rests on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He is the knower of everything that is happening in this world, and if knowledge has any end, He is the end of all knowledge. Therefore, He is the known and the knowable. He is the object of knowledge because He is all-pervading. Because He is the cause in the spiritual world, He is transcendental. He is also the chief personality in the transcendental world.
So everything rests on Krishna. That means everything is being maintained and manifested by His energies. It's not like personally, as we discussed, right? It's not like Atlas, he lifts his hand and holds the globe and he seems very tired and he's using all his energy. So Krishna doesn't hold this all the worlds like this. He doesn't have any other work to do, right? It's not like that. By His energies, by His will, everything is happening. But at the same time, without Him, nothing will happen. See, this very nice phrase is there. He is knower of everything that is happening in this world, and if knowledge has any end, He is the end of all that knowledge. Therefore, He is known and the knowable. He is knowable means whatever you have to know, ultimately it's Krishna's part, energy. So He is the one we are knowing actually. If I want to study this science or that science or this C sharp or whatever it is, all this knowledge, ultimately it's coming from Him. So you know, it's Him we are trying to know. Like other concept is like when we try to love somebody, right, our family members or even ourselves actually. Very nice lecture Srila Prabhupada gave once, I remember. He was telling that everybody loves their body. Like body is the most dear to us, right? You know, we cannot imagine, especially death is so difficult, that's why. And also we cannot imagine anything being cut. It's very difficult. It's the closest to us, and we identify so much with the body, we can't even think separate actually. That's why, you know, it's very dear to us. Then he said why it's very dear is because the soul is residing in it. Because soul wants to love, because it's the resident of the soul is soul is residing in it, that's why it's very dear to us. So, but actually that love the soul is seeking is the love for the Lord, not with itself. No, that has to be properly placed, that's what he's saying. Instead of being attached to the body and taking care and loving the body so much, rather the soul should love the Supreme Soul. That's the right way of attachment. So he's saying we are loving this body because the soul is part and parcel of the Lord, and that love for the Lord is replaced by this love for the body. That's what he was trying to say. And similarly, same extended that point is when we try to love others or get love through our family members or so many friends and society and things like that, we're actually seeking Krishna in all of these. We are seeking that missing love we miss from the Lord through all of these. And how much ever we get so many extensions, so many things, it's not going to be fulfilling. No, at least we should come to that conclusion. How much ever I, have friends, loving husband, loving children, everything else, at some point or the other, we will always feel empty. Because they are missing that connection with the Lord. No, so that's what we are. So similarly, whatever we are trying to know, actually we are trying to know Krishna, but indirectly. But ultimately that's why we say, instead of stopping all this search and then finally we directly know Krishna, then we got the essence of the knowledge already. That's why this verse is there, 15:15, right? Vedaischa sarve rahameva vedyo vedanta krid vedavi deva chaham. I'm the knower of the Vedas, I'm the compiler of the Vedas, and from all the Vedas I am to be known. 15:15. Yeah, so yeah, he's a chief personality in the transcendental world. Yeah. Any points anybody wants to share?
His comment about being the supreme refuge, right, above all the material modes. So here, Arjuna is, I think after seeing him, right, it's as you said, he's in awe.
Yeah, supreme shelter, he's saying.
So it almost like he's fully convinced.
Yeah. Okay, text number 39. you are air and you are the supreme controller, you are fire, you are water, and you are the moon, you are Brahma, the first living creature, and you are the great grandfather. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you 1,000 times and again and yet again. So much he wants to offer obeisances now. We'll read the short purport.
Beyond the stratosphere here is air, because the air is the most important representation of all the demigods being on creation. Arjuna also addresses Krishna as the great grandfather, because he is the father of the Brahma, the first living creature in the universe.
Prapitamaha. Great grandfather. Is father of even Brahma. Text number 40. Obeisances to you from the front, from behind, and from all sides. O unbounded power, you are the master of limitless might. You are all pervading, and thus you are everything. So he's so much in awe, he wants to offer complete repeated obeisances from all sides. We'll read first 3 lines.
Out of loving ecstasy for Krishna, his friend, Arjuna is offering his respects from all sides. He is accepting that he is the master of all potencies and all power,
prowess
and far superior to all the great warriors assembled on the battlefield. It is said.
See, we can pause it. Yeah, that's fine. You can read the translation.
Whoever comes before you, even if he be a demigod, is created by you, O Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah. He's a master of all potencies and is superior to all the greater. Yeah. He's just accepting everything and admitting like that. These last 2 verses are very nice. This 41, 42. Thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you, O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, not knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as we relaxed, lay on the same bed or sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all these offenses. So sweet, right? So now he's remembering as a friend how he used to treat him, and he's telling, now I know your real glory, that you are actually Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this awe and reverence is dominating. So he feels like, maybe, you know, I committed offense. Okay, so we'll read very nice purport, Srila Prabhupada.
Although Krishna is manifested before Arjuna in his universal form, Arjuna remembers his friendly relationship with Krishna and is therefore asking pardon and requesting Krishna to excuse him for the many informal gestures which arise out of friendship. He is admitting that formerly he did not know that Krishna could assume such a universal form. Although Krishna explained it as his intimate friend, Arjuna did not know how many times he may have dishonored Krishna by addressing him, O my friend, O Krishna, O Yadava, etc., without acknowledging his opulence. But Krishna is so kind and merciful that in spite of such opulence, he played with Arjuna as a friend. Such is the transcendental loving reciprocation between the devotee and the Lord. The relationship between the living entity and Krishna is fixed eternally. It cannot be forgotten, as we can see from the behavior of Arjuna. Although Arjuna has seen the opulence in the universal form, he cannot forget his friendly relationship with Krishna.
Okay. So some of the points Srila Prabhupada is saying is that Arjuna remembers his relationship with Krishna. So he's asking, so he remembers how as a friend he dealt. He's asking forgiveness because he might have offended the Lord. Like, you know, great person usually gets offended, right? Like, if he's intoxicated with position, he thinks, you know, oh, I'm like this, you know, how can you do like this to me, like that. Even though Krishna may not, he will not think like that, but still he feels, oh, you know, I didn't treat you the way you should be treated. That's the point he's saying. So I treated you just like me, just like my friend, you know, like that, talking and, you know, joking, everything. The point is saying is relationship between the living entity and Krishna is fixed eternally. It cannot be forgotten. So he's saying even though now he dominant primary rasa is like wonder or awe and reverence, still that friendship is there. That's what Srila Prabhupada. It cannot be forgotten. So our rasa with Krishna, you know, different rasas we have, right? That is inherent in us, so that will be revealed as we purify ourselves eventually, and that will always stay with us. So some practical application I was thinking is like, similarly devotees also, actually advanced devotees especially, they are very humble. That's the symptom, right? Advancement means they are more humble. Because they are so humble, they are so approachable. It feels as if, you know, you can talk anything with them, or rather, you know, they have the ability to come down to our level and talk, have a nice, you know, common conversation. So the other person will feel, you know, he's my friend. There's no difference between him and me. Like, you know, it's the same thing. Initially maybe we may feel that awe and reverence, okay, that person maybe so many number of years they are practicing, I'm not like, or they're in this initiated, I'm not. But after some time where you also get all the initiation, you also are chanting 16 rounds, then you feel like actually, yeah, there is no difference between, you know, them and me. It's especially Maya, you know, it may make us feel like that. Maybe, you know, I also committed such mistakes. No, but always we can remind ourselves, you know, somehow Krishna shows in specific incidents actually how they are so different and so Krishna conscious much more than us. Because once we lose that humility or treating them in that appropriate position, we will no longer be in the receiving mode. So the benefit we can gain from their association is when we know or accept that they are actually much more Krishna conscious than me, and we are in that mood like, you know, okay, I can learn something or the other always in their association. If you are in that mood of seeking, then they say, right, seek and you shall find. When we say are in the mood of seeking, then Krishna will reveal actually, you know, see, he's so Krishna conscious, she's so Krishna conscious actually. No, it's not like, you know, at the same level like that. Even though out of humility or out of natural affection for the devotees, they may treat us also as like same as their friend. That's a very nice thing I was thinking, you know, we can be aware of, you know, so we don't commit offenses. Because the thing is, the devotee may not take it as offense because they are humble, everything. But Krishna may. But this okay. Krishna actually, Dadanath Maharaj was telling this lecture, real offense is when you do out of envy, you know, to put somebody down, to blaspheme, to remove from their position, things like all the politics. And if you do like that, that is real offense. But like jokingly, you know, these things are not very minor. But still, as I've mentioned, like, you know, it's for our benefit, we should rather treat them in a way they should be treated, so we can grow nicely in their association, which is what Krishna arranged for us. Any points anybody wants to share? Yes, ma'am.
So then the passenger, like, they had all the conversations, they had fun time there. Whenever the other person gets out and he's the CEO of a different company, like that only
Arjuna is feeling.
And Arjuna is compared with that. But still, friendship will be the friendship.
Oh.
The mood will not change. They still may be in reciprocation like.
Oh, very nice. Very good point.
I have a practical example. Like, in a similar situation. So I was going to VC dance class, right? So I had a friend, like, her name is Sheena. So anyway, so we got really friendly with each other. But then we would chat. I was working in Microsoft, so working, and I had a lot of conversation, but I never saw what her position is. Like, I never saw. And then once I immediately saw, she's a director in Lionsgate company or something. And then I said, oh my God, see the connection. I never thought like, because like it's been more than a year, but I never thought like she could be a director. It's that humble in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I said, oh, I should be like, why you think about that? Don't bring that thing into our relationship. You know, we are just friends. Just we stay like that always. So you come
yeah.
This kind of situation.
Very nice. Very good point. Very good examples. Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. We'll continue. Text number 43.
You are. Now Arjuna is feeling that he did mistake or is asking for forgiveness, right? No, does he continue in his friendly manner with Krishna or does it change after?
After this? Yeah, he'll go back to his. He'll again get Yogamaya covers him, right?
Okay.
He'll go. We'll see. He's going to ask him now to. Who I don't know who can. Who read ahead? What is Arjuna going to ask Krishna later on?
Show his regular.
Reveal his 400 form, and then he says, reveal your 200 form, which I'm familiar. So that way he deals with him in a natural way, which he's familiar with.
And so Arjuna forgets everything?
No, forgets means he knows, always he knows Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Yogamaya covers him so that he can have a friendly exchange. No, you can have, you cannot, no, if you know somebody selects, you can, all the moment, every moment you will be so watchful, right? What I am going to commit offense, and then you cannot be, have very intimate relationship. So Yogamaya covers it so that Krishna can enjoy that rasa, like that.
So is it same like Krishna?
Yeah, exact same. You are the father of this complete cosmic manifestation of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipable chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is equal to you, nor can anyone be one with you. How then could there be anyone greater than you in the within the three worlds, O Lord of the immeasurable power? So in so many ways we are hearing how Krishna is so great. He is the most supreme, and we all accept that, I think. That's why I'm like brushing through that, right? No, but it should sink in, right? We don't accept him as... Prabhupada once asked, actually, in one GBC meeting with all the GBC members were there, top. Then he asked, you know, how many of you really believe Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead? Nobody raised their hand. Then he said, you know, believing means you really, you know, you have full conviction. That means all that should manifest in your actions and desires and thoughts, everything. There should not be any other other refuge. No, there should not be any doubt. Then why should you not become a, you know, fully devote yourself 24 hours to Krishna service? If you have full conviction, he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means he can protect you, he can take care of you, he is reciprocating with other devotees. So he will reciprocate with you. So why we are not able to do means we don't have full conviction is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we should hear again and again how from all the devotees how they glorify the Lord, so that someday, you know, we should at least literally accept him. Otherwise we think we have such an intimate love with Krishna, we can joke with him, he's one of us and all these things. Okay. Which where obviously the last paragraph, whoever,
why didn't they raise their hand when you asked them?
Yeah, basically they know that they were not fully convinced. So whoever knows Krishna's, they're honest. Okay, last paragraph. Whoever knows Krishna's
transcendental body activities and perfection after quitting his body returns to him and doesn't come back again to this miserable world. Therefore, one should know that Krishna's activities are different from others. The best policy is to follow the principles of Krishna that will make one perfect. It is also stated that there is no one who is master of Krishna. Everyone is his servant. The Chaitanya Charitamrita confirms, only Krishna is God and everyone else is his servant. Everyone is complying with his order. There is no one who can deny his order. Everyone is acting according to his direction, being under his superintendence. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, he is the cause of all causes.
So that's why Prabhupada is saying best policy is to follow the principles of Krishna. So if we accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should not have any hesitation in following his instructions as given by in Bhagavad Gita or by the Acharyas, laid out by Acharyas. No, when Prabhupada says chant 16 rounds, you know, we should not be cushioning or like, right? So, like all those things. Then, So everyone is complying with this order. So this point is little bit, you know, deep. He is saying everyone is complying with this order. So both devotees and non-devotees are complying with this order. Literally we know devotees are complying with this order, right? They try to follow the instructions as given by the Lord. How are non-devotees complying with this order? Or rather, you know, people, materialistic people or other people who are just enjoying their life, how are they following his order? No, but still, seemingly they are atheistic, they are defying the Lord, seemingly they are living in the world without the Lord. How are they still following the order of the Lord?
They are following material.
They are under the clutch of material nature.
Material nature, which is under this direction.
Yeah, so they are surrendering to senses, they are surrendering to modes of material nature, which is under Lord's direction. So everybody is surrendering to the Lord. Depends on which energy, either Yogamaya or Mahamaya. That's the only difference. Based on that, the effect will be different. It's Yogamaya, you will be happy, peaceful and joyful. Mahamaya means you will be crying all the time and suffering. Right? But otherwise, everybody is surrendering. That's why Krishna says 4.11, Yayatamam Prapadyante. As one surrenders unto me, I reward them accordingly. But everybody is following my path in all respects. O Arjuna. So every, but as they surrender, I reward them. If somebody wants to defy me, somebody wants to you know, live in a world without me, I'll provide that opportunity for them. If somebody wants to love me, somebody wants to come closer to me, I'll give them the opportunity. As they surrender, I give them the appropriate, you know, whatever they want. But in all cases, everybody is following my order anyway. 4.11, if you want to note. It's a very nice point. So basically, if you look at it, we don't have any independence actually. Either way, actually, we can, if the thought that we are independent is very illusory. If you think that we are independent means actually we are so much covered with Maya, but actually we are not. Right? Always either we are controlled by the senses or we are controlling the senses and engaging in Krishna's service. It's basically subordinate to Krishna. Like, do you all accept we are not independent? Sometimes you have glimpses that you are not independent, or?
We are not independent.
So, but you know how much we are convinced, that's the point I'm.
Because even small things, when we say, okay, we're going to do that, there's no guarantee
that. Yeah, it's going to happen, right?
So, if we had that much, if we are so independent, everybody's life would be the way they really want it.
Yes.
I mean, our life is not. It's a little different, right?
Mm.
May not be bad, but still, I don't know if it is. Every step of the way, we are not.
Yeah, that's very nice. All of you accept to some extent? Very nice, yeah.
Yeah. Between the cup and the plate, even for eating, we say that, so what about other?
Yeah, we can see with our kids, right? Suddenly we'll be eating, we don't know from where they will fall, the plate will go. So we don't know what's going to happen. So, yeah, that's a very good example.
But we forget sometimes when we are on like very high pace of our life.
Exactly.
We are in super success as compared to others. Whatever we do, it becomes
exactly.
Gold. Then we are independent.
Yeah, so,
and
no,
we are
that,
controlling so many.
Exactly. So that's what I felt, you know, because all of us are to some extent pious. This comes so naturally for us to accept we are not independent. But you know, I can say, like, for my own father, for example, he is intoxicated with the philosophy that, you know, he achieved his success, he is the only one who caused his success. So now if you, that is ingrained in him to think that he is the independent cause for his success. But he is seeing day to day whatever he is desiring to marry his son, it's not working out. But that only leads him to frustration, but it never leads him to believe that, you know, I am not the one controlling this. That he will never come to that conclusion because of the lack of piety. So it requires some piety to accept that we are subordinate and there is some higher power.
Quality of this acceptance has to continue 24 hours.
Yeah.
Any second you are out of that, like, then again you think, yeah, maybe I can control this part also.
Exactly. At least my son I can control. You know, this is my domain now, you know. But we can see.
Maybe 2 years after that.
Even then, actually.
So, one if you said either we are with
Yogamaya or?
Yogamaya or with Mahamaya. So, would
time you are with yoga man, that will always be close to Krishna.
Okay, yes.
And the moment you are not with yoga man,
yes,
you are into Mahavira.
Yes.
And then it will take.
Yes. So that's why Prabhupada says, absence of Krishna is Maya. That's a simple definition. If we are not Krishna conscious in any activity or any service, if you are not fully sure that you are doing fully for Krishna satisfaction according to the instruction by devotees or Krishna, that means you can, there is some room of personal enjoyment there. That means there is Maya there. Absence of Krishna is Maya. It's very simple. Like how we discussed in the story time. Chinmay, like that Krishna shadow, right? Sunshine and how shadow are so close to each other, Maya and Krishna side by side. We discussed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like how Prabhupada is giving this very nice analogy. Sunshine is there. The moment you turn back from sunshine, you see the shadow. But you turn back reverse, you are facing the sun. So turn back from Krishna, you are in Maya. You face your back towards Krishna, you are in Maya. Right? See, that's the very, very nice example he's giving. So it's not like Maya is so far away, I take so much time for me to reach Maya. It's just there. Yeah. It's just your consciousness is little bit contaminated to your enjoyment, that's all.
Yeah.
You're affected by material energy and the actions, and you're committing offenses and all those things.
Prabhupada,
that's
one like God is like so deep and so powerful, so
profound. Yeah. Acharya. Okay. Text number 44. You are the Supreme Lord to be worshipped by every living being. Thus I fall down to offer you my respectful obeisances and ask your mercy. As a father tolerates the impudence of his son, or a friend tolerates the impertinence of a friend, or a wife tolerates the familiarity of her partner, please tolerate the wrongs I may have done to you. I may have done you. Very nice.
Reverse here, or the husband.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we'll read the short purport.
Krishna's devotees relate to Krishna in various relationships. One might treat Krishna as a son, or one might treat Krishna as a husband, as a friend, or as a master. Krishna and Arjuna are related in friendship, as father tolerates, or the husband, or a master tolerates. So, Krishna tolerates.
See, in purport, Prabhupada answered your thing. In the verse, he said wife tolerates. In the purport, he says husband.
In our verse, it is like that. Husband.
Oh, is it? Oh.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, okay. I don't know which is more latest, I think. Maybe yours, I think. I think purport is husband, right? So,
yeah.
I think that works, yeah. I think maybe husband. Yeah. So, you know, same similar mood is saying, you know, please forgive all the offenses I might have committed due to our friendship. 45. After seeing this universal form, which I have never seen before, I am gladdened. But at the same time, my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead, O Lord of the Lords, O abode of the universe. So he's saying, now again show me the form. He specifically actually is asking the 400 Narayana form. So we'll read this few lines in the purport. Arjuna is always Narayana form.
Because he can assume any form. This universal form is material and temporary, as the material world is temporary. But in the Vaikuntha planet, he has his transcendental form with four hands as Narayana.
We can pause there, Mataji. Yeah. So, yeah, similar. No, as Prabhupada discussed already, Arjuna is afraid that he committed offenses, even though there was no need for fear. and he's asking, because he wanted to move away from that mood, so he's asking him to show the four-handed form of Narayana. This also another incident. So Arjuna is convinced he's Supreme Lord, he can show any form. So he's just like that asking, please show me this form. And we know in the Lord in the Vaikuntha has the four-handed forms, and he's holding club, he's discussed in the next verse. Club, wheel, conch and lotus flower. Different hands are holding different positions sometimes. There is a different name of that Lord based on the position in which he holds the lotus flower, club, conch and disc. There will be a different name for the Lord. So text number 46.
The form that Krishna has shown to Arjuna, that was the material form?
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's the point, the thing I missed. Yeah, the universal form is material and temporary. So basically, universal form is all the elements in the universe are imagined as parts of the Lord. Like in this case, the way it's described is little different, but in the Bhagavatam it's described like the lower planetary systems are his, you know, legs and thighs and like that, and the upper planetary systems are his chest and like that, you know, imagine the whole elements in the universe as different parts of the body of the Lord. Like for example, the trees are considered his hair and sun and moon are his eyes. If you visualize everything, that form is universal form. That is temporary because the whole universe is going to disintegrate. Right? So the universal form also disappears and there is no universal form in the spiritual world. So that's why it's material and temporary. So he wants this eternal form of Lord Vaikuntha, Lord of the Vaikuntha, which always exists in the Vaikuntha planets. Text number 46. O universal form, O thousand-armed Lord, I wish to see you in your four-armed form, with helmeted head and with club, wheel, conch and the lotus flowers in your hand, lotus flower in your hands. I long to see you in that form. So he's asking that specific form in the Vaikuntha planets. So sixth line, he is now asking to see the form.
He is now asking to see the form of Narayana, a spiritual form. This verse establishes without any doubt the statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead and all other features originate from him. He is not different from his creatures and he is God in any of his innumerable forms. In all these forms, he is fresh like a young man. That is the constant feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who knows Krishna becomes free at once from all contamination of the material world.
So that's why Narayana form is spiritual form. And another point, crucial point, Srila Prabhupada is saying this verse, by asking this, you know, Arjuna is saying that Krishna is original form and he can manifest the Narayana form if he wants. So he is the original form. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam also says. Ete chamsa kala pumsha, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, Indriyar Vyakulam Lokam, Mridyanti Yuge Yuge. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the Swayam Bhagavan, the original Lord. And everybody else, all the Vishnus, all Narayanas are his expansions. Because Krishna can manifest a four-handed form, that shows that he is the original form. It's clear, right?
Krishna's original form has two hands.
Yes. The Shamsundar form is the original Lord. The first, the Supreme Lord is two-handed form of Shamsundar is the original Lord and everybody else is expanded from him. Even though there is no difference in energies and potency, but still there is one origin. It's like how you take one candle and light other candles of similar potency, like, you know, whatever colors, everything, all candles while after some time are lighting same intensity, right? But still there is one original candle. So like that, that's example given.
Basically Arjuna is with the original form itself.
Yeah,
see, it turned back to a two-hand form. It's like a original form.
Yes. No, the point here it's saying is that, okay, what Prabhupada is trying to bring about is there is always a long discussion, or rather fight, between devotees of Vishnu and devotees of Krishna, saying who is the original. Like for example, Sri Vaishnavas, they believe Narayana is the original one and everybody else comes from him, like Krishna and other forms. They are avatars and he is avatari, they say like that. But the Vaishnavas, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, everybody, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we understand that Krishna is the original Swayam Bhagavan, Narayana and Vishnu forms are expanding from him. So that's the point he's clarifying. If you don't know that debate, it's okay. You don't need to be confused.
Here is another thing that I found amusing.
Arjuna only starts by saying, show me your universal bodies. So he says, first he says, why do you need all this, right? And then he shows him, it's like, no, I cannot take this, you just come back. So the Lord knows what is good for us, we don't know what is good for
us. That's why he told, right? Actually, when he was describing the opulences only, he was telling, what's the need of all this, you know, that's with a single fragment of myself, I behold the whole mystic of, whole manifestal cosmic manifestation.
All this is not but
a tiny fragment of myself, yeah.
So, we can't even take, even if you ask the Lord, you can't even take what he gives.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's what they say, right? If you want to give Krishna with your small hands, how much can you give? And if Krishna wants to take away with his, 10 hands, how much can you hold? Right? That's a nice phrase. I didn't say it properly, maybe.
So, Venkateshwara, like Tirupati, Venkateshwara.
Balaji.
So that's what Balaji is what form?
Narayana form. In all these forms, he's fresh. That's an important point about the Lord. All these forms, he's fresh like a young man. There's a phrase called Navayavanam. Lord is always fresh. Like, for example, battle of Kurukshetra, he already has grandchildren, everything, but he looks always young. He never becomes old. That's a constant feature of the Supreme Lord. One who knows Krishna becomes free from at once from the contamination of material world. Which verse Srila Prabhupada is paraphrasing here? One who knows Krishna, he becomes free from the material world. Janma karma cha me divyam. No? One who knows about my appearance and pastimes doesn't have to take birth again in this material world, but he goes back to my abode. It's 4 point something. Janma karma cha me divyam evam veti tatvatha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti so
Arjuna. Mother, the whole point of all this Gita and everything is to liberate, we condition soul from this material contamination, right? But then here, as like devotees, like our, like the main thing is how to preach. We are all conditioned. That's why you are preaching, so that you liberate yourself from this with this knowledge and everything. Then once you get liberated, what would you do? Because there everybody knows everything, right? Like they are all knowledge about Krishna. So what do we preach there? We are the disease, doctor goes to the disease person, we are all the disease person. So will you again be coming back with the material body? Do you understand what I'm saying? You are getting liberated, the whole point is getting liberated. But the service actually is about, if you preach about Krishna, that's the greatest service to Krishna. So
what will you preach in spiritual body, you're saying?
Yeah, because they are all...
Preaching is twofold. Here we are preaching... that is the external effect of preaching, is that you will become free from contamination. But the real essence of preaching, actually Mukundatha Prabhu was telling, is you're not preaching is nothing but sharing your rasa with Krishna. The rasa you experience with Krishna, you share that with others. That is preaching. You understood? Like when you hear from somebody, right, you can see actually, if you hear from a particular person for a long period, you can get actually, always they hit it same thing. You can see there, the bhava comes out.
They have a mood for Krishna.
The mood for Krishna comes out. Yes, that's what it is. So that's what. So then, in spiritual world, continuously there is preaching going on. Preaching means glorifying the Lord. Preaching seems like as if, somebody doesn't know and you tell and you brainwash and clean. That's the effect. But preaching is nothing but glory. It's a glorifying the Lord is preaching. So there, constantly, all the gopis, everybody, they're always talking about Krishna's glories. So there is 24-hour preaching. It's always, even a moment, they don't stop, but they cannot stop but glorifying Krishna's pastimes, activities. See, for example, the incident, right? In Rasalila, when Krishna had performed the Rasalila and he suddenly disappeared. Then all the gopis became crazy. They couldn't handle that Krishna suddenly left. So in separation, they couldn't live. They couldn't handle. Okay, suddenly Krishna is gone. What should we do now? So what did they do in order to appease their separation? They remembered all Krishna's pastimes and they enacted those pastimes. Like one gopi was acting like Putana, one gopi was trying to drink milk, and one gopi was acting like Shakatasura. One gopi, it tell all the demons. One gopi was asking like Trinavarta and, you know, Bakasura, and all the demons, they were acting. And they were more and more relishing Krishna's presence, actually. Now Krishna became present because of remembering his pastimes. So then their separation became little bit cooled down, or, you know, appeased. So there is intense separation for the Lord by remembrance of the Lord by through his pastimes and activities. That separation is little bit helped. So that's why it's always continuous remembrance of and glorifying the Lord and his activities. So we are practicing, so we can do it forever. Actually, here we cannot hear Krishna's glories 24 hours. We cannot speak Krishna's glories 24 hours, right? So we practice such a way that we get the taste. Like Bhagavatam, it says, the sages were saying, swadu swadu pade pade. You know, so much nectar. But again and again, we like to taste. We like to hear the nectarian message of the Lord. If we have the taste, if we feel or we pray that one day we should have the taste, that, you know, when we are hearing, it should feel like, that's all, we are in that moment, you know, whole world stopped. I wish it can go on forever. If we have that eagerness, that earnestness to hear Krishna Katha, then we are slowly get heading there. You know, then we can mold our lives, we can pray that, you know, someday, whole day we just sit and hear Bhagavatam, and they should go on like that. We don't have anything else to do, at least when we are retired. It, you know, speak Bhagavatam, hear Bhagavatam, that's all. Live the life of Bhagavatam. That's the goal we want to, you know, achieve. Any other points anybody wants to share? Then, as Krishna Prabhupada is saying, then we'll know Krishna. Then when we leave this body, we'll not have to come back in this material world, but we can attain Goloka. Okay? We'll end here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai.